And you know, we've been going through a lot over the last year or so with just about everything. No need to get into all of that, but some people just are losing it. They can't take it. Maybe it's you. I hope not, but maybe you've witnessed it as well. And so I'm going to open up a special hotline for that. If you've seen cases wherever you are, maybe shopping, and you've just seen someone lose it, why don't you share that story with us? 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. And of course, we've got the other lines open for open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and let's go right to the calls. Let's pick it up by going east of the Rockies. We've got Alan in Brainerd, Minnesota. Welcome to the show. Hello, Alan. How are you?
I am doing just fine, sir. And you?
Good. Good to have you with us.
And I just started off as I had a really weird experience.
What happened to you?
I was sitting and doing what I always do. I stay up a little late at night and watch TV.
Okay.
And my 9-year-old daughter came out and asked me a simple question. She says, "Dad, I need you to explain to me what you were talking to me about." And then I'm like, "Excuse me?" She says, "I need you to explain to me what you were telling me about the people." And I was like, "What people?" I said, "When?" She says, "Just now, the people." And I said, I've been here all night, sweetheart. And she goes, "No, Daddy, you told me that I needed to watch out for the people in the house." Apparently, while I was sitting here, my daughter had a conversation with me in the room, and I told her that she needed to watch out for the people in the house.
Okay, but you don't have any recollection of that. So who was she talking to?
Dude, she wasn't talking to me because I have every recollection of every second of that whole night because I was completely conscious and watching TV and doing whatever I do.
So some kind of entity, Alan, that looked like you or took over your image was talking to her and said, "Watch out for the people."
Yes, and I want to know who the hell the people are, first off.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I mean, are you having any strange occurrences in this house?
I've had two other occurrences, but they have been spaced out over a period of about 4 years.
And what were they?
Okay, the first experience I had, I wrote off. Because you're familiar with Minnesota. You heard about the incident with the Bigfoot or the Wolfman thing that took the deer out of the back of the DNR guy's truck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right about that time, I was online chatting with some friends, and I rent, and my landlord's security light went off, and I looked out the window, and I seen something on two legs walking in the shadows right by the security light.
Wow.
That was the first thing. So I wrote that off because we got black bears around here and stuff.
Sure, sure.
Okay, the second incident was I thought it was my wife at first, but a shadow, something or another, came out of the hallway, walked over to the sink, and you couldn't really tell what it was doing, but it was like doing something around the sink and then went down the hallway. I thought it was my wife. I followed it down the hallway, and there was nothing there.
Tell me about the house, Ellen.
I live in a freaking rickety old trailer house.
How long you been in there?
6 years.
6 years? Did you buy it new?
No, I rent it. I've been renting.
Oh, you rent it?
Yeah, I've been renting it for 6 years. And
how old is it?
It's like a 72.
I wonder if somebody died in that place. Can you find out?
Absolutely no clue, and I have heard no stories about it. And I don't believe in any of this stuff, so you know I keep writing it off, but I can't write it off now because when my own daughter comes up and tells me that I actually sat down and had a conversation with her.
And somebody's warning her. That's what you got to keep in mind here.
Well, Ellen. Yeah. I got to watch out for the people because she told me that I walked in and I told her I need to watch out for them because I see them walking and I see them talking.
Did she seem scared?
No, she didn't seem scared.
She's not scared.
But then when I questioned her on it though, I said, "Was it me?" And I said, "I want you to be clear on this. Was it me?" And her answer was no. because I wouldn't look at her. And Daddy always looks at her when he tells her the truth.
All right, she thought it was you. But
she thought it was me at first, but when I asked her, I said, was it me that told you that? And she says, no. But I said, did it look like me? She says, yes.
Well, Alan, here's some advice. You got to be very, very careful about what's going on in that trailer home, because there's some kind of entity in there warning your family through her about something. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what you're already telling us, that something is going on in there. Let's go to Birmingham, Alabama. You are on the wild card line. Hello, Joe.
Hey there, George. I was wanting to tell you a story about something related to what you and Mr. Bill were talking about a while ago.
Okay.
I spent the first 10 years of my life living with my grandparents in Tampa, Florida. And my mother and I lived there with them. And my great-grandmother died in that house, and I'm the one that found her dead.
Oh.
And I had rode into her bedroom on my tricycle to try to get her up for breakfast, and she was gone. Well, right thereafter, things started happening. And I'm telling you, it was scary. I had an uncle that lived there with us, and he had his own bedroom. Well, he had gone out of town, and I went in there in his bedroom, and there was this thing sitting on the side of his bed, and it was big.
Like what?
I don't know what it was, but it had glowing yellow eyes. And it growled at me. And I took off out of there like greased lightning. And I saw it again one night. It was in the kitchen looking at me. It was big. I think it was probably about 7 foot tall. And it was growling at me again. We had a stove in the kitchen that pots and pans would be sitting on it, and they would just get up and go floating through the air. And I'm not the only one that saw this stuff. My mother and my grandmother and my granddaddy, they all saw it too. And I mean, this was a scary house. And when I was about 10 years old, they got rid of that house and we got out.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And my mother remarried, and the guy that she married lived in Chicago, so me and her went up there to live with him. Well, he had two kids by a previous marriage. They were a little bit older than me. And we lived in a basement apartment, in an apartment building, but we lived in a basement apartment.
Okay.
My stepbrother and my stepsister had a room, and we didn't have much room, you know, so I had to sleep on the couch for a while.
And how'd the kids treat you, the stepkids? Pretty good?
Oh, we got along fine.
Good. All right.
And they, in their bedroom, they had a door in their room that went underneath the front stairs to the apartment building. It's kind of like a storage room. Well, there was things going on there, too. That door would fly open by itself, and my stepbrother, stepsister would come running out of there, and there were some creepy things went on there, too. I tell you, I've been to some scary places, but I just wanted to call and tell you about that.
All right. Thanks, Joe, for the story. Let's go to the Crofton, Maryland area. Jason's on the line, the Lost It line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jason.
Hi, George. Let me tell you, for the last year, things have been slowly accumulating with this dark force, to use your guest earlier's metaphor. And my fiance said, I'm battling something evil in me. Part of me wants to be so bad and evil for all the things that people have done to me, and the other part of me doesn't. She actually skipped town because the pressure got so great. She says, I have to get out of here. It's nothing against you. She goes, I don't even know if I'm coming back. She goes, if I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. But I love you, and it's not you. And I said, so what, are you leaving me? She's like, no. So I don't know. So I'm just letting her run and do her thing because she is totally lost.
And when you say this is accumulated with her, what's going on?
Well, you know,
is it the economy or just about everything?
Well, no, she's in a business where the economy is doing pretty well. You know, I don't want to say because it's kind of big out here in Maryland.
Okay, I understand.
And, but business, you know, has its ups and downs, but it's just the way some of the things have been done. Her grandmother's in the hospital, and due to negligence and other things, certain family members not caring about other family members if they live or die, and, you know, she's being told this, and all this responsibility dumped on her, so she says, I got to get out of here.
She couldn't take it. Out she goes. Yeah.
No, out. She's, as a matter of fact, she just texts me. She says, "You know what? I'm gonna hop on the internet and listen to Coast Canyon." I hope I get on before George.
Oh my God!
Before he takes my call. No, I'll let her listen to this. But she loves the show, and I told her. I said, "You know, you got to listen to George Norrie because he talks about all the stuff that you're into." But she's just, I don't know. She's coming around. And, you know, I believe in this collective consciousness sometimes that you guys do. And I really applaud the show. And I think that we've all gone through a lot of changes as a whole society.
Well, we sure have. And I hope everything works out with her and you. Sounds like you care a lot about
her. Yeah, we're doing pretty good. But, you know, I can understand. People have their breaking point, you know. I mean, I went through mine, too.
I am witnessing this, Jason, all the time. I've been in St. Louis a couple weeks.
I was through there.
three more to go, and I'm back to Los Angeles. And I'm telling you, wherever I've been now, I see these in pockets of people who just lose it. You know, mothers shoving that little kid.
We just had a shooting in New York, too.
Oh, I know. It was horrible. You know, 13 people dead. That may go up a little bit more.
You know, George Carlin made a joke several years ago about a disgruntled worshiper, and there was actually a case about that one guy who on a shooting rampage in his church somewhere. I can't remember where.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, wasn't that prophetic? But
truly.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, George. Jason.
Have a good night.
All right, and that's the Lost It line, and that phone number is 818-817-0021. Let's go to one of the great areas of the world, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Greg, you're up there. They ever put those windmills up there, Greg, or not?
That's probably about to happen, even though a lot of people are against it. But
they're against it because of the aesthetics, I guess, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just wanted to compliment you first on your bumper music. Bob Seger's great. That's my era of growing up with like a rock and Main Street. But
that was good, and that was Dan. That was Dan. Danny picked that. Our engineer on board up. That's his song.
That's great.
Well, got to give credit where credit's due, right? I'd love to sit back and say I did that one, but I didn't. Plus, he'd knock me off the air if I.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was calling about. I would have loved to talk to Bill Bean and your last caller that actually did get to speak with him earlier. The last thing he mentioned was about neighborhoods and activity that goes on in the neighborhoods. And that he would have loved this. Talk about coincidence. I grew up in Hyattsville, Maryland, and that's not far from Glen Burnie, where Tom told me that Bill was from. But just half a mile from me, where I grew up, is Mount Rainier, and that's the actual real place of the Exorcist kid that was, as you know, a boy, not a girl.
He was a boy, that's right, and ended up in St. Louis eventually.
Yes, and one of my best friends lived next door to that house, and the things must emanate. I don't know what happened, but his family was similar to Bill's, where the father left the family.
Flipped out.
Best friend. Pardon?
He flips out, right?
Right. And he left. He was an alcoholic and left. The mother stayed. They grew up in there. My best friend left. But his younger brother stayed, and he ended up committing suicide.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and this is the house right next door.
Right next door. Isn't that bizarre? Evil permeates all over the place like that.
Yeah, and I lived half a mile away, and the only thing me and my brothers and sisters all have seen was shadow people on the wall, thank God. We saw those.
Harmless enough, huh, Greg?
Right.
Okay, thanks for the story. Next, let's go to Tim, driving around in Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hi, Tim.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good.
Good. I was listening to your show tonight, and it just, everything your guest said has been happening to me since 2006, and it's just amazing. I want to share a story. The way you said how the evil presence doesn't just come at you, it takes time, it manifests. Yep. That's what's been going on with me. And in February this year, I was sitting in my room. All of a sudden, what I seen in my room were little tiny round balls floating around me. It was the weirdest thing. This was how they're, I guess they're stepping it up a little bit with me. I'm a little nervous here.
That's all right.
What happened was I was sitting there, I had weather stripping over the sliding glass door. Something made me reach up and just tear it off. And the sliding door was open, and the stick that I had propped up was out. The next thing I know, the TV popped on, and I think, I was sitting there, and there's these little balls. I think they're orbs.
Whatever. Orbs, little tiny ones, yeah.
Little tiny orbs. The next thing I know, I could see, like, a breeze come through where something came through. I shut the sliding door. The TV goes up. All of a sudden, it blinked on, and the TV was, like, trying to communicate with me or whatever. These people on the TV says, well, I'm going in. So I seen where one thing come in, and it made like, the curtain just breeze a little bit. The next thing I know, my whole room was full of orbs. Now, I swear to God, this is true. I could touch the little things. They were flying all around. I threw, like, a sheet over one. And I can feel it under my foot. And what Bill was saying, like, when they gain power over things, I sat there with the Lord's Prayer, and I could feel the power come out of them. But as soon as my mind thought, what is this? Because that's a natural thought. What is this? It gained power. The next thing I know, there was these two dark little figures. Not figures, just dark spots, like shadows, that were coming in.
Man.
Things in the room started moving around.
Did you feel evil, Tim, all over the place?
Yeah, George, this has been going on since 2006. Evil surrounds me, and they're stepping it up to the point where they're letting me see it.
Not wherever you go or just where you live?
Wherever I go, just like that one lady caller. It doesn't matter where I am. I've tried to escape these things, going to Alaska, all the way to Boston. It don't matter where I am.
Well, you need some help with this then, Tim. You can't do this by yourself.
Well, no, I can't, but I've been doing it. So I'm gonna email Bill Bean and just tell him my story a little bit. But here's the weird thing. These things, like where I thought they were in the room, you cannot see them. You can see a little shadow.
Right.
For some reason, I flipped over my bed, took the mattress off, and threw it where I thought these things were. And sure enough, I swear to God, I had caught, if you take a solid and put it on one of these shadows, you can trap it under you.
But
I felt this thing, it was like the size of a rat, but it felt like a beating heart underneath me.
Oh, my God. Did it get away?
Here's the thing. It takes like 20 seconds and they paralyze you. You can't move. You lose. They just suck all the energy out of you. You cannot move. And I kept saying, I don't want to hurt you. I don't know what you are, because I was scared if I would hurt it, it might do something bad.
So, well, it's the first time, though, Tim, I've ever heard someone physically feel these things. Hey, if you pick up the After Dark magazine, renew it or subscribe to it, you'll get two double CDs, Art Bell Classic Interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms. Great, great CDs. So you can do that by calling 1-888-727-5505 or go online to coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls with open lines and also the Lost It line. If you've witnessed someone who's just simply lost it, call 818-817-0021. Okay, let's go back to open line calls. First-time caller Fred in Colorado. It's your turn, Fred. Thanks for holding.
I'm right here.
There you go.
First time in 30 years I've called. I used to live on Lopez Island in the San Juan Islands of Washington State.
All right.
I lived in a haunted house. It was very interesting. They called it the old farmhouse.
How long did you live in that thing, Freddie?
Oh, for a year.
Okay. What happened?
Well, we would leave. My girlfriend, Karen, at the time, and I'm not kidding. Anyways, we would leave, and I'd have the windows open because the weather was beautiful. If you ever lived in Washington, it's kind of weird because the weather will change really quick.
Yeah.
And I'd go, oh, no, it's raining. And Karen would go, don't worry about it. The ghosts will close the windows. and they would. The windows would close? Or if we left and it was raining, they'd open the windows for us.
They'd take care of the house.
They're really friendly. from what I heard is people had died in the house. The parents had died in the house, and the children were still alive, and so I think the ghosts were taking care of the kids.
That's a good point. And for this year you were there, you experienced this all the time?
Oh, yeah, constantly. We'd sit down, and we'd have a tea kettle going on there with the stove burners and stuff, and we'd drive off to go visit friends and stuff like that. And they'd go, oh no, I don't know if I'd turn the burners off on the stove.
They would take care of that for you?
Oh, yeah, they'd turn them off. They'd turn the burners off. And there's one room, it's like a parlor. It's an old-time type house.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the parlor. And there's a Victorola in there, them wind-up things with the big deal on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd walk in there, and the Victorola would be going, and the rocking chair was rocking.
What was the song that they were listening to?
I couldn't tell you because I was pretty freaked out.
Don't blame you.
Then upstairs, no one ever went upstairs, and there was a lot of dust, and I'm a tracker. I can track an ant across concrete.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was no... I mean, the dust was thick. It was half inch. And I could hear someone walking up there and checking on the doors. Well, that's where the kids lived, that they stayed, and the parents stayed up there. And I could hear them walking across the over my head.
Checking on the kids.
And that's what it was. And I'd go up there, and there's no footprints, no nothing. And I'd close the doors and go back downstairs, and my Karen would go, you closed doors, didn't you? And I go, well, yeah.
Freddie, did they ever show any signs of anger or anything like that, or was it always friendly stuff?
No, not at all. Not at all.
When you left the house, did you kind of miss them?
Well, yeah. It was really nice to have someone looking after me. from the afterlife looking after me. I mean, it's kind of a really neat thing to have going on because the only footsteps upstairs were mine.
They got your back. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, the first time it happened, I ran outside and said, well, could someone climb up a tree and get in a window or something like that? There's no possibility about that. And that they're just really, really friendly.
Oh, that's great. See, a lot of times we get calls from people who aren't experiencing friendly things. So I guess when they do happen and they are fun, you might as well let it happen as long as they never turn on you. Let's go to the Lost It Line, Matthew in Pueblo, Colorado. You're up with us. Hey, Matthew, what kind of story you got for us?
Oh, well, I have a friend of mine that totally lost it. He just vanished off the face of the earth, basically.
What happened to him?
That I don't know. I mean, I knew he was struggling from the economy. He didn't know how he was going to make rent. He couldn't find a job. And then he had a job for 2 days, and then he just vanished. I've been trying to track him down, went over to his parents' house. He apparently just dropped his kids off there and left town or something.
They don't even know where he is?
They don't even know where he is.
Are they worried about him?
Oh, they're worried about him. And I've been Googling his name to try and see if he comes up in any kind of out-of-state obituaries or anything like that.
Oh, my God. What about his credit cards, Matthew? Have you been able to get the cops to track him?
Oh, see, I haven't gotten the police involved or anything. I knew the guy had no credit cards or anything like that.
Nothing.
Well, he had.
How about the parents, though? Have they called the police?
They have, and there's been nothing.
That is bizarre.
And that he just dropped his kids off there and vanished.
Nothing. No phone calls. Nothing.
Nothing. No phone call. I called his cell phone. It's been shut off, you know, and it's just this guy just vanished.
Did you see him getting depressed or did you see signs of this?
Oh, I saw him getting depressed. I mean,
you did.
Yeah, I was getting depressed, too, during my own problem with the economy. But this
of course.
He was having a hard time.
Did he talk about leaving or hiding?
He didn't talk about leaving or hiding at all. In fact, he did get a job, and he's like, oh, this is going to be great. And then 2 days later, he was gone.
That is bizarre. All right, keep us in touch on that one. Let's go to Washington. Tri-Cities, Washington, as a matter of fact, west of the Rockies. Andrew, welcome. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie. How's it going today?
Good, Andy, good.
That's going on. I just wanted to comment about the guy that killed the 13 people.
Yeah, tragedy.
It is. Well, I mean, I can see where he's kind of coming from. I think we do need to stop letting immigrants in until we can get our own.
Yeah, but you don't go and you don't.
Culture but, back, but I don't. Think
you don't go kill them.
About it, no.
And these people were legal.
About it was right killing people.
Well, and these people were legal, and as far as I'm concerned. You know, they had every right to be here. They went through the legal process.
Yeah, I understand. I completely agree that he went the wrong way of doing it. But, I mean, I think we do need to kind of stop letting people into our economy until we can stabilize it. Because the more people we let in, it's like a slippery slope. You get too many people on one side, and then it's just all going to collapse.
Well, I mean, that's the major issue, of course, is immigration, legal and otherwise. There's no doubt about that. But in terms of what happened today, and we don't know yet what his exact motives were, other than we know he lost it. And they say that he is working for IBM and he got laid off or he lost his job. And maybe that was a trigger. Who knows? But, you know, those poor people who were there testing. They were going through the legal process of being citizens of the United States. And you know what? You can't fault them for following the law. Let's go to Kelly, first-time caller, driving around in Missouri. Whereabouts are you in Missouri, Kelly?
I'm just outside of St. Louis.
Well, that's not too far from where the cave is. Come by and say hi. Kidding.
Oh. Well, I was calling because I listened to your caller about talking about good spirits. You know, and I do believe in that because, like, my daughter, when she was just newborn, we were staying at my mom's and my dad had passed. And my ex-husband was a very mean guy, okay?
That's why he's an ex.
Yeah, there you go. And I get up one morning and he's sitting at the kitchen table at, like, 4 in the morning and he's just as white as a ghost. And I said, what is your deal? And when I got up, I noticed the room we were in and where my daughter was with us was really cold in there, you know? And I thought that maybe something happened to the heat, but the rest of the house was warm. So when I go in there, he's sitting at the table and he is just white as a ghost. And I said, what are you doing? He said, we are leaving. And I said, no, we're not leaving. I said, what's your deal? What's going on? He said, I just woke up and your dad was standing over our daughter and covering her up, and he was on my pants, and he always carried a little gun in his pants pocket.
Yeah.
And he was standing on his pants. And I mean, my ex-husband didn't believe in nothing like that, you know. And I just thought it was good. And you know, one time I was in my house, we have like 27 acres where I live here in Missouri. I live in Southeast Missouri.
Sure. No, near Cape Girardeau?
Yeah,
that's where my son went to school down there.
And a friend of mine and me were in my house. And I got just like a little two-bedroom trailer. And I was walking to the bathroom, and she thought I was going just down the hall. So she went to follow me, and she in this first bedroom on the left, she went in there. And she called out to me. She said, "Kelly, where are you?" I said, "I'm in the bathroom." She said, "How'd you do that?" I said, "How'd I do what?" And she said, "I just followed you in this bedroom." I said, "No, you didn't. You just followed my granny in that bedroom." And at Christmas time, our TV at Christmas time comes on. We've had different TVs and everything, but the TV in the living room will come on.
Is it plugged in?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You got to try unplugging it and see if it comes on.
If it did, I believe I'd pass out, but I always feel good. And I mean, these things have always been around me. I mean, always. When my sister was little, we used to give her two cookies or a vanilla wafer to take to bed when she was being broke of the bottle.
Why two?
Well, we gave her one at first. And then one night she looks at my mom and she says, "Mama, I need two." And she said, "Why do you need two?" She said, "One is for me and one is for Grandma." Our grandparents were dead.
They would visit her.
I believe that we were, you know, and I've felt that eerie feeling at times, and I try not to think about it because it just creeps me out. I mean, if I feel something like evil or oppressing around, I just start praying.
Well, and it works. Did you ever see Granny's?
I'm sorry?
Did you ever see Granny's teeth marks in the cookie?
No. I can't say I ever looked. I was pretty young at the time, but it was just, it's just stuff like that, you know. And my sister was killed in a car wreck, and I was driving when I was 16, and my sister was quite a bit older.
Yeah.
And she was in a wheelchair. And I really blame myself for this. You know, I felt a lot of guilt, and I was pregnant at the time. And, I mean, they would keep me sedated because they thought I was going to lose my baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so upset. And one night, and I don't know to this day if it was a dream or what happened, but when I come to, I was wide awake. And in this vision or whatever, my sister went in a wheelchair. She was in exactly what she was buried in, and she was about, the image of her was dead at the foot of my bed, and all she said is, "I love you, baby, and it'll be okay," which is what she always said to comfort me
and
when
you
I was
needed,
upset about anything.
You needed that closure, too, didn't you?
Yes. That's why I say I was very upset. So,
yeah.
You know, the mind can do. But I just always, when I felt upset or troubled, I felt just like really comforted by something around me.
Well, I got to tell you, Kelly, all you got to do is say exactly what you said. And just reach within yourself, say that prayer, whatever you do, it works. Let's go to New Orleans, Louisiana. George, it's your turn. Hey, George.
Hey, good morning, George.
Hey.
My call tonight is about the UFO conference in Laughlin. It was my first conference that I went to, and it was extremely interesting.
It was great. And Joshua Warren was out there.
Yes, he was. And I met a lot of the guys, and they're incredible. You know, they really do a good job when they research.
Yep.
I was sitting in the conference with my roommate. I had a roommate. You know, you could call up and get a roommate. So I never knew my roommate. We paired up like brothers.
Huh, and, okay.
And he was from Utah. Price, Utah, and he had a bunch of phenomenal stuff that's happened to him in his experience, ghost hunting and stuff like that, which freaked him out and freaked me out too. And I think he decided he's gonna kind of lay off of it because it's pretty scary. Don't mean.
Yeah, it's too much. What got you to go to the conference? Something's been going on in your life, I guess, huh?
Oh yeah. Well, I've been listening to the Coast since about '96, and. You know, it struck my chord. It was like when I first heard Coast to Coast, it was like immediate, you know, confirmation that I wasn't nuts.
that's so true. We're in a group by ourselves, but we're not nuts.
Right. You know, and I felt really alone with my thoughts before I started listening to Coast, and since then, you know, I don't miss a show anymore, but. you know, I had my bouts with the storm and everything where I missed a lot of time and everything, but I got the stream link so I can go back and look it up. But at the conference, my roommate and I, we were sitting there and listening to the conference, and I saw him taking a few pictures. And I said, "What are you taking pictures of?" And he says, "I'm just checking out to see if there's anything in a room." And I said, "So I had my camera." I said, "Let me do that too." So I started snapping shots inside the conference as the speakers were talking. And I have a digital, and I was looking at the shots, and I noticed I was picking up orbs. And the lights went out. You remember that point in the conference when the lights went out?
Joshua was telling me about that.
Yeah. Well, when the lights went out and it was a total blackout, I ran out to the casino and I took some shots from the balcony down to the casino just to see if I could see anything. And I took shots in the gift room.
And you're sure these weren't light reflections or anything like that?
George, I'm positive. And I got the pictures. I'm going to mail them to y'all because you can't see this.
Get them to us. Or you can email them to me, too. Whatever's easier for you.
Okay. But these things are unmistakably orbs. They don't just, you know, like my lens, I took some pictures and they came out perfectly clear. But in most of the shots that I took, there were orbs. I mean, they were all over the place. They were on the slot machines, on the floor of the casino. They were on the ceiling in the casino. I got this real vivid orb. The brightest and most vivid orb was on the ceiling of the casino. I got pictures where orbs are suspended, up this big, giant ball, crystalline-looking ball. All of them had, I went outside because they had a guy from Italy who took some pictures of a UFO outside. They even showed it in the conference. So I went out at night, and I started shooting up at the sky next to the casino, and sure enough, orbs. And everywhere, they were just everywhere.
Sounds like they're monitoring all you people at the conference.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, I can't imagine what they are. I felt no negative energy at the conference at all.
Okay, definitely, George. Get them to me or email them, george@coasttocoastam.com. I bought a real nice digital camera back in Los Angeles, and I've got to learn how to use it. I've been a film guy all my life, and now I'm into the digital world, and I've got to learn it. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM.